for those of you, if you've heard me encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs, at least maybe every other month or every month there's 31 days, it's really a good thing to do as a family and especially to do as a couple. And reading through on day four was Proverbs chapter 4. And I don't know how much more beating up I can take in Sunday school class on forgiveness. Man, I think I've just about reached the end of the rope. My rope, not God's rope, but have been just so challenging, so awesome to experience God's forgiveness. And as I did that, this all kind of came rushing in. And if we can break down the book of Proverbs into two sections, chapters 1 through 9 are the chapters teaching about wisdom, teaching his children, Solomon's children and his sons, about what it is to live in the wisdom and the security of God. Chapters 10 through 31 are wise sayings reflecting the contrast of those teachings in chapters 1 through 9. And as I was reading chapter 4, I thought about five questions every Christian needs to ask themselves, I believe, every day. And I want to share these questions with you this morning. And they're out of Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 20 through 27. So if you would, for those of you who could, stand with me in honor of God's word. And then remain standing for prayer as we read Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20 through 27. And a word of the Lord says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from your deceitful mouth, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and your put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord God, asking that your Spirit speak to us today in whatever way you choose, Lord God, that we will be encouraged, that we will be even convicted, Lord God, as we need to be if our life is not where it should be with you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that we can learn from these sayings of wisdom, Lord God, and the questions that you have had me ask myself that I want to ask my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord God, I just pray that all that we can do will bring glory and honor to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I read this chapter, five questions came to mind to me. And I want to challenge you, if you've got pen and paper or just on the back of your bulletin, write down these five questions and the verses associated with them. The first question that I want to ask you is, what am I listening to? What am I listening to? If we take a look at verse 20, Solomon writes, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. It is so true that whatever we put into our hearts and our minds comes out in our voice. And my friend, we need to watch and be careful about what are we listening to. It isn't censored anymore on the radio of the vulgarity of the music that's being played that our kids can listen to. But I want our kids and our children and our adults to understand that we are not to listen to just anything and everything that's out there and that's available. You see, Solomon says, incline your ears and attention to my words, incline. That word incline is interesting because it literally means to lean over carefully to listen. You see, we're called to listen to the Word of God. We have that. There's no excuse that we don't know what the Word of God is, because every one of us in here have a Bible. And we can know. The question is, what are we listening to? Are we listening to things that edify, build up, whether it be internally in the church or whether it be spiritually in and among ourselves? There is no excuse for us as believers and as Christians. We need to maintain the right listening product to build us in our spiritual lives. We need to do that. If we listen vulgarity, we will speak vulgarity. We listen to bad thoughts, we're going to speak and practice bad thoughts. Listen to what Solomon says here to kind of expound upon that inclining your ear and pay attention to the words of God. He says here that, first of all, don't let them depart from your eyes. How many of us have a regular, everyday time with God's Word? Every day. Think about that. I mean, you know, I am all for devotions, believe me. In fact, I get a lot of good stuff, a lot of inspiration out of devotions alone. In fact, I was amazed. I had prepared this earlier this week, and my devotion today was on this very thing, out of Proverbs. Do we keep God's Word before us? Are we paying attention to its truth? Or are we just saying, well, my particular devotion will count another day, and that means I've got 17 days or 20 days or 3 months or 256 days underneath my belt. But what does the Word mean to us? That's what's important. Pay attention is what Solomon said. Pay attention to the words. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to walk away from things that we shouldn't be listening to. That means dirty jokes. That means talk, if it's an adult realm, about men talking about their wives. We need to walk away from that stuff. That is not a part of our life or the things we should be listening to. Because whether you and I want to admit it or not, any little thing can find seed and root if it's taken in. So he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle, the midst of your heart. Why is that important? Because the heart is where it takes root. That's where it flourishes. That's where the seeds land. If the wrong seeds are landing in the heart, the wrong fruit's going to be bore. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to be careful about what we're listening to. And just because everybody else is listening to it is no excuse or exemption for us to join suit. Because I'm here to tell you, my friend, if we are a believer and we are a Christian, we will stand accountable for the things that we hear and the things that we listen to. He says also, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That means to me simply that we flourish. When we hear the right things, when we keep God's word before us, we're going to flourish in life. That doesn't mean we're not going to be persecuted. Doesn't mean people are going to just all of a sudden fall down before our feet and just think we're the wonderful, most wonderful thing next to sliced bread. Didn't mean that. But it means my spiritual life and who I am and what I am is going to flourish in the name of the Lord. Amen. First question, what am I listening to? Second question, we go down to verse 23, and he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know, the Bible says, in the NIV, it says to guard our hearts. In fact, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing. For in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, that word guard means to build around it. To protect it. Are any of us really protecting our hearts today from the infliction of the world and its chaos? Verse 1, verse 20 through 22 talked about our hearts. What's in our hearts is what's going to flourish. I'm here to tell you, men, women, husbands, wives, those that are single, whether you be dating, you need to guard your hearts against the fiery darts of the enemy. You know what makes me sad? I know because I worked in the secular field. Is to hear men speak so candidly and openly and irrespectfully of their wives in the company of others. Including women as well. You know, when a person guards their heart, they're going to guard their mate. What goes on between a husband and wife needs to stay between a husband and wife and not be broadcast to a world that doesn't care. You see, and young people, if you're thinking about dating, you need to guard your heart as a Christian young woman or a Christian young man. Satan will do all he can to plant seeds of the world and what the world is doing out there. That what you have, the gift you have been given as a young person, is just up for grabs by anybody. And it's not. It's that precious gift God has given you. You got to guard your heart. There are as many women players out there as there are men players. And all they want is advantage. And if you're a Christian young woman or a Christian young man, they even see you as a bigger target to coerce you, to seduce you. Let me say this. What you have one time. And that one time is for that person you want to spend the rest of your life with. Don't let someone else take it from you. It is a gift of God. You see, we need to guard our hearts. And I'm here, I don't know how many have ever watched the movie Fireproof. Anybody ever watch that movie? Awesome movie. That will talk about guarding your hearts. A man that didn't guard his heart against pornography planted the seeds of pornography in his life. His wife, who felt rejected, who felt like she didn't measure up to that which he used to watch on the screen, guess what? She began to meet with somebody else during lunch very, very innocently. Pretty soon it became more than innocence. And this is the real world, folks. Understand that. You can't do that. And I'm saying you can't because the Bible says you can't. You are asking to bark up a tree that you can't come down from. Guard your hearts. There are things that are for the family. There are things for the spouse. And there are things for that young Christian, young woman and young man. Satan wants to rob you of those. He wants to rob you. He wants men and women that are Christians to fall into infidelity. To chalk another one up against the Lord. I don't know if we understand how devastating that really is, because you know, the bride, which is the church, and the groom, which is Jesus, represent marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. It is sanctified. It is set apart. It is not to be abused. Now, we can also plant seeds of greed. Seeds that of things that money is all important. And that becomes the seeds that flourish in our heart to make that first million or to make more than we will ever need. Rather than, a Wednesday night ago, I was sharing a scripture that says God blesses us as He blesses us so that we might help someone else. Amen? We don't make it for ourselves. We make it to take care of our families, to do our things, but we do it to help other people. That's why God blesses us so much. Oh, how wonderful that is. Guard our hearts against greed, which leads to covetousness. We know what covetousness is. That's to get whatever we want at any cost and at anybody's expense. We need to guard our hearts against unholy desires. I'm just going to use that as a general term. Because if it doesn't glorify God, if it isn't holy before Him, there's very few gray areas involved in that. It's either holy or it's unholy. Unholy desires breed unholy actions. Amen? They do. So we got to guard our hearts against these things. Solomon is encouraging his sons and his children, listen to the words that I have to you. Know what it is you're listening to. Guard your hearts against these things. They didn't listen very well. After Solomon died, the kingdom split. Northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom never had a good king. Never. The southern kingdom had a few. But then, that's what we get when we abandon God. You see, Israel abandoned God. You want to know why I say that? Because God ruled His people through prophets, through judges. Samuel being the last. The people weren't happy with that. They wanted to be, now get this, you've heard this before, we want to be like everybody else. Uh-huh. We want a king like everybody else. Samuel, all brokenhearted, says, Lord God, look at what the people want. He felt dejected. God says, what are you dejected about? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They don't want me to rule them any longer. They want a man to rule them. Well, the rest is history. Does that sound like something in our lives? When we don't guard our hearts and we want to be like everybody else, expect unholy things to happen. and expect unholy living to come forth. Number two, guard your heart with all that you have. Number three, let's look in verse 24. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. In other words, what is my everyday conversation like? Is it something that I can tote and say, man, I know God's really proud of me because my conversation is nothing but uplifting and encouraging? Or are we on the other end of the spectrum, grumbling and complaining? I'm continuously reminded of these things. If not by the Lord, by my dad. Okay? He helps me. And the last thing that I want to be is a grumbler and a complainer. Because I have so much to be thankful for. I have a wonderful family. I have so much to be thankful for. I have a great church. I have an awesome God. What do I have to grumble and complain about? Perverse lips, lying lips. You know God hates liars, right? Yeah, He hates liars. Let's not be a liar. Let's not be a liar. God hates lying lips. What are we known for? I've heard some say, well, for the most part, when they start out with for the most part, you're in trouble. For the most part, they're pretty honest. They say mostly truthful things. I'm sorry, for the most part isn't good enough. We need to have words that are trustworthy, words that are honest, words that are loving, words that are forgiving, words that are blessed and blessing to others. You know, my Bible tells me we are to build one another up. Well, you can't do it when you're putting everybody down. I heard it once said by a very good, solid Christian. Some of the meanest people they ever met was in church. Yow! That's a real good epitaph to have, and I'm using the right word, on our tombstone. Untrustworthy, not honest, and a liar. Wouldn't it be better to take the consequences and be known as honorable and honest? You see, perverse lips go so far on not just cursing lips and lying lips and grumbling and complaining lips, but lips that also have a negative, a bad tone to them. You know, in Proverbs, I can't read my writing. It's chapter 15 anyway. That talks about those kind of words that are spoken that have negative tones to people's lives. And complaining about one another. Complaining. Do you like to be complained about? Do you like somebody to take you to the back room and gossip about you? Because that's where it belongs, is in a back room. There's no room in the house of God for that kind of action. So we need to say, and we need to analyze, and we need to evaluate, what is my language like? Does it encourage? Does it lift up? And does it build? So that's the third question. How is my conversation? The fourth question, as we take a look at this, in verse 25, he says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Oh, now this is a biggie. What am I watching? What am I watching? Again, what we listen to, what we speak, and now what we watch all plant seeds in the guarded heart that we're supposed to be protecting. It used to be a little bit more difficult to get a hold of certain types of movies and stuff like that. Well, it's not anymore because you can just pull it right up on the internet. Free for the taking. You don't even have to pay for it. It's just all right there. Has that made you feel any better? Has that made you just grow in the admonition of the Lord? Has that just nurtured your life? You know it hasn't. It has caused separation, like it did, if you go back to Fireproof, how it separated him and his wife. That is nothing more, now listen to me, than an illusion. It's not real. But when somebody gets hooked on it, it becomes real. And it's never, ever fulfilled. Do you understand me? It can't be fulfilled. That's why it goes longer and longer and deeper and deeper and crazier and crazier. Because you're searching, you're looking, you're trying to find, and it's empty. But yet it's still a grave. And within its confines is death, hell, and destruction. Oh, to protect our kids, how far will we go? I hope we go to the nth degree to keep them protected. But folks, now listen to me. Parents, grandparents, because nobody is exempt from this. Don't expect your children to follow the example that we're not following. They're not being raised in a naive generation. They can see the truth. And if it's not important to us, why should it be important to them? If we say it's okay to us just because I'm over 18 or I'm over 21, then that's okay. You are wrong. Your thinking is wrong. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. It will destroy relationships and families and other relationships. See, that's what I've heard so many people say about other certain sins that only they believe only affects them. Everybody's against excessive drinking because that affects everybody, but nobody's against smoking because that's just against the one single person. It's not. It's against everybody that you come in contact with. And it's a horrible, horrible example. And I, for years, was a horrible, horrible example. Oh, I've been involved in my things. Things I am not proud of as a believer. But praise God, He has freed me and forgiven me so that I might just help one other person that needs help. One of the hardest things I had to do this week was in a counseling session yesterday to tell them not to get married. They're not ready to get married. I said, this is a long lifetime commitment. You're going into this marriage with resentment. It's doomed from the beginning. I would be amiss if I did not tell them this. if I did not share this with them? You see, so many accept the norm as far as being able to marry and separate and remarry and separate and remarry and separate, because that's the way our world is today. God's word does not change. I'm not condemning anybody. Please understand that. A lot of things happen before we get in the right place with our Lord and our God. But if we're there now, then we are without excuse. So the question is simply this: what am I watching? What am I ingesting into my spiritual life, into my holy life? I love this phrase where he says, and your eyelids look right before you. You could say right as in the right way, or you could also look at that as to the right, because we know that always in Scripture, when the right is referred to, it's the right to holiness in God. The left is not. The right always is. That's why he separates those. And those that go in and are accepted come in on the right side, the right hand, not the left hand. On the right hand is forgiveness. On the left hand is condemnation. You might be interested in tonight's sermon. Hatred. That's what tonight's sermon's about. Hatred. And guess what? God's people are not exempt from it. But we better learn how to get over it. Because there's a lot of hatred going on, even in amongst the Christian community. I'm just going to say this, and then I want to get back to this. I was floating between which sermon I wanted to preach this morning. If I wanted to start a free-for-all in this congregation, all I would have to do, Democrats on this side and Republicans on this side, amen and hallelujah. How come you're not laughing? It's funny. It's funny in a very serious way. Get ready for tonight, okay? Because we're going to talk about this. Anyway, let's get back to this. What am I watching? I would answer that simply like this. Is it that which is building me up? Or is it that which is tearing me down? Question 4. The final question I want to share with you, ask you, is in verses 26 and 27. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Where are you going? Where are you going? Is where you're going to be someplace you would take Jesus with you? Is where you're going someplace you would introduce Jesus to those friends of yours? Is where you're going someplace where you're going to be tempted, taunted, a place where you shouldn't be, or a place where we can glorify the Lord our God? You see, to me, that's where church is. That's where we are today. This is where we're going. And I want to take this that I have right here this morning out those doors and every place else I go. And I don't want any place that I am to be someplace I would be ashamed for my Jesus to come and find me. Amen. And I say that with every one of these other things. I don't want Jesus to pop in on me sometime and catch me listening to something I shouldn't be listening to. I don't want my Jesus to pop in around the corner sometime and I haven't guarded my heart and all kinds of unholy seeds are growing wildly in my heart and unholy actions are following. I don't want Jesus to be looking over my shoulder, which he always is, and hear the conversation coming from my mouth that is reflective of a chaotic, ungodly world. I don't want Jesus to look over my shoulder and see what I'm watching on the internet or what movie I may be having watching on my TV. I want to know that when I'm watching something, he can be sitting right there next to me and would not be ashamed of what I'm watching and what I'm seeing. And then I will not be ashamed of any place that I'm going. And if I felt that the Lord was leading me someplace to witness to a certain place and a place I wouldn't go by myself, I may call you to go with me. Amen. Where two or three go together, they go in strength. Amen? Amen. So don't ever be ashamed. Only be ashamed if we're going where we shouldn't go. Five simple questions. We can start every morning by just reiterating these questions throughout the day, because we are going to be confronted with every one of them someplace and sometime. My desire, the desire that I have, is to bring glory and honor to my Lord and my God. That is my desire. As we prepare for our invitation this morning, evaluate your own hearts. Don't look to the one next to you. This is self-examination. And we each need to examine our motives, our desires. And everything that we do is being watched by the one who died for us and loves us. And I cannot tell you that I have not walked through this life and at times have disgraced my Lord. But I don't have to continue, and I will not. He is the most important person in my life. And he makes everyone else around me important to love and to care. Is he that for you?